Father, we want to thank you for your amazing presence in this house, and we want to thank you that you're a good God. We want to thank you for your love, and we want to thank you that the veil has been torn, and Lord, that we can come as we are. We thank you for your arms, Lord, that are strong enough. We thank you for your faithfulness, and we thank you for your goodness. We thank you, Lord, that you're not a man that you should lie. Thank you, Lord, for how you've spoken to us already. Father, you will continue to speak to us through your Spirit and through your Word. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to read just a verse that I didn't have prepared, Psalm 107, from verse 17. It says, "Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, were afflicted. Their soul abhorred all manner of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. And then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions." It's an amazing promise that the Lord gives us. He says he sent his word and he heals them and delivers them from their destructions. And what I had on my heart this morning, just to share with you just a few verses that I believe the Lord has laid on my heart. And I call them anchors for the souls. I've got a little love note here on the pulpit that says, "Water binne preekstoel." With a smiley face. But there are no tissues in here. Can somebody get me some tissues, please? Just give me a moment. That wasn't a shofar, that was me. Okay. Romans 8 through the years have been to me like an anchor for my soul, and just when I was speaking to quite a few people in this week concerning many of the things that have been happening in our nation, and many of the things that have been happening even personally on many different levels. And I just felt in my heart that the Lord wants us this morning just to anchor our souls again in a few eternal truths, a few things that he wants established just in our hearts and in our souls, in our spirits. And so what I'm going to do this morning is I'm just going to read a few verses for us, seven, not that few, but I want to read through them, and here and there I'm going to say something, but I believe that for many of us, there will be a specific anchor, there will be a specific thing in your life that you are really battling concerning your hope and concerning the faithfulness of the Lord to come through for you in that specific area. And I'm trusting the Lord that as we're going to read these verses, that the Lord, through His Word, will come and heal your heart, and at the end, as we're going to pray together, that the Lord will establish in you an eternal anchor that will not be moved and that will not be shaken. Romans 8 verse 1 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death." And I believe that one of the first anchors that we need to just realign ourselves with is the fact that the Lord has given us the ability to live through the power of the Spirit. It says that there is therefore now, in this moment, in this present moment, irrespective of what has happened, irrespective of what might still happen, there is now no condemnation. So the Lord is here in the very present tense. He's here as the great I Am for some of us here to say to us that for you, there is no condemnation. The Lord has come, and through His Spirit, the verse says, for those who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Walking according to the flesh versus walking according to the Spirit has got everything to do in the strength in which you walk. And so He's saying there that those who do not walk in their own strength, those who PPG, praise and pray and give in humility to the Lord, those who live in dependence on Him, who do not rely upon themselves, says there's no condemnation for us. those of us who are in Christ Jesus, not those who are successful, not those who feel on top of the world or not. It's got nothing to do with your feelings. He says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Condemnation there speaks about judgment, speaks about a death sentence. It speaks about a building that has been condemned for destruction. Often you would come across buildings that have been very old and they need to be demolished. We say they have been condemned to be destroyed. And Scripture says you have not been condemned to be destroyed if you are in Christ Jesus. Okay, there is a power of the Holy Spirit available to us. Verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. And so the anchor I believe the Lord is wanting to hold before us here is that the destiny and the future of your life depends on whether you're plugged into the Spirit or not. And as we heard this morning through what the just the testimony that Delandre brought, that there's a place in our lives where we probably think the Spirit cannot reach. There are few places as powerful as that, as home. And the Lord says, my Spirit wants to reach there. There's some places that some of us have shut off to the Lord and we've become religious around Him. And He says, in that very place, I want my Spirit to infiltrate. That very place, I want to come with my healing. That very place, I want to come with my deliverance. That very place, I want to come with my hope. And so I believe the Lord wants us to anchor ourselves this morning in His Spirit power. Not soul power, not self-determination power, but His Spirit power. And He says to us, there is no condemnation for you. The second anchor that is holding before us is in verse 15. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. So the second anchor for me that I come to back often is this fact, and that is that the God that I serve is first and foremost a daddy God. The God that I serve is first and foremost the one who stands with arms extended towards me and towards you constantly and consistently. He's still the father of the prodigal son that doesn't wait for his son to make it all the way home, but runs towards him when he sees him from a distance. He's still the daddy God. And you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. For those of us who are caught up and trapped in fear this morning, the Lord says, that is a bondage that I have not destined for you to walk around with. That is not what my son has died for. He did not die for you to live in fear of the past, the present, or the future. The Lord has given us the spirit of adoption. And that spirit, says this verse, cries out with our spirit. Says that there is a cry inside of you that cannot be silenced by your circumstances, cannot be silenced by any other voice. And that is the spirit of sonship that cries out, Abba, Father. Not just Father, but Abba, Father. A very personal term. My daddy. And so God wants to anchor us in the knowledge this morning that whatever has happened in 2013 up to this point, or whatever might still happen in the future, His daddy arms are strong enough for you. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And as we heard this morning through just what Elmery shared with us, God wants to cement this in our heart, that He is the one standing next to you when you stand in the court of the universe and your past or your sins or your weaknesses or the enemy comes against you and wants to put condemnation upon you. Then He says that there's somebody standing next to you. There's somebody defending you. There's somebody speaking the truth over you. And that is God the Holy Spirit. It says to you, you are a son of God. You are a daughter of God. He testifies, He witnesses with our spirit that we are children of God. And so I don't know how or what you think of when you think of God this morning. I think it's Tozer that said that the most important thing about any human being is what we think of when we think of God. And so this morning, whether you think of Him as the judge, or whether you think of Him as the genie in the bottle, or whether you think of Him as someone that is your bro or your buddy, I don't know what it is you think of. But Scripture says that He is your Father. He's your home. And you can always trust Him. And so I believe for some of us this morning, we need to come back and we need to anchor our hearts in His daddy love. It goes on and it says, and if children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. So He says that you are children of God. Remember that you're my son and you're my daughter. I am your daddy. You can answer that question as to who's your daddy with boldness, the King of the universe. I am your daddy. And I love you and I'm passionate about you. And I get very upset when people mistreat you and when you allow yourself to be mistreated. I am your daddy. You are my child. But He goes on and He says that not only can you anchor your soul in this, that you've got a God who delights in calling Him your father. You can also know that if you're a child, then you are an heir. In other words, as Peter shared, then you've got access to the Lord's provision. Joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. I want to ask you this. How do you think your story is going to end? Right now, where you at? What do you think God still needs to do in order to make, as the rest of Romans 8 says, all things work together for your good? Which miracles must still take place? Which mountains must still be removed? Which hearts need to be changed? What financial breakthroughs still need to happen? I think there are a whole list in many of our minds this morning as to what God needs to do in order for us to have all things work together for our good. But I want you to leave that question as to how will my story end? And think about how will Jesus' story end? How do you think Jesus' story will end? How do you think the final act of the universe will be like in terms of Jesus? Do you think He will just arrive at the end grateful that He barely made it? Or do you think His end, so to speak, of this earth age, as far as Jesus is concerned, will be glorious, will be magnificent, will be spectacular, will be the show of the ages? Jesus' end is your end. Scripture says that we will be glorified with Him, if indeed we also suffer with Him. If there are things in this life that the Lord doesn't come to deliver us from instantaneously. And so many of us, we look to those things and we allow those things to prevent us from seeing the ending. Jesus coming back glorious and radiant and resplendent in majesty. And to Him has been given a name above every other name. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords, the rock of ages, the bright morning star, the beginning and the end, our Alpha and our Omega, the Rose of Sharon. And we who have come to Him, belong to Him, His end is our end. And I believe that the Lord wants to anchor some of us this morning in an eternal perspective of the glory that He has been storing up for us. The prize that is ours of being with Him when all things get consummated. And wants us to lift up our eyes from the temporal things that might be holding us back or might be frustrating us. So you're not just a child. You're an heir. You're an heir of what? An heir of glory. You are an heir of glory. Jesus' end, the end that Father God has been storing up for Jesus, that He has been preparing for Jesus, the bride that is His, you belong to that. So think about your end. It's with Him. The fourth anchor, I believe, is the anchor of Father God's love through His Son. Romans 8 verse 37 says, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I'm persuaded, Paul says, that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers. I don't know what the size of your demon is. He mentions a few different ranks there. He says, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers. I don't know whether your demon is a headache demon. I don't know whether it is a transgenerational demon of poverty or homosexuality, or whether it is a national or an ethnic principality. Scripture says, doesn't matter the size of your demon, the Lord's love is strong enough. It will not be able to separate you from Him, not height, not depth, not death nor life, nothing, not things that happened in the past, not things you are confronted with now, nor things that are to come, will be able to separate you from His love. Anchor your soul in that this morning. Anchor your soul in His love. Anchor it in that. Nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And there are some of us who have allowed the waves of just the opposition to push us away from the knowledge of His love. And I believe this morning the Lord says, come, come back. Nail yourself to that anchor. Romans 8:24, another anchor, the fifth one, and got two more after this, is the reality that we were saved in this hope, Paul says in Romans 8:24. We were saved in this hope. In the previous verses, he's speaking about the groaning that we have inside of us, waiting for the adoption of our bodies, waiting for that moment when nothing will stand between us and God anymore. We have been saved. We know that we are with Him, but we also know that we live in the flesh. We also know that we are still being made perfect. We also know that there are weaknesses and there are things keeping us from the fullness of what God has for us. We will all get to heaven one day and discover that there was so much more that God had for us, and due to our weaknesses, we couldn't walk in all of that. There were moments we missed. There were opportunities we didn't fully grasp, because we're human. And Paul says, but there's a day that we long for when our bodies will be fully resurrected and fully changed into a sinless body, where everything will come together and we won't have this tension between where I do the things I don't want to do and the things that I do want to do, I don't do that. That tension will be removed. And he says, we wait for this. Just like the whole of creation groans for the revelation of the sons of God, there's this groaning inside of us, this longing, this expectation for that day, Jesus, and you come back and I will see you for who you are. And nothing will stand between us, nothing. Not what people have said, not what I think, not my experiences, nothing will stand between us. I will be like you, and I see you. And it says we wait for this. But it says this is a hope that we have. It's a hope that we have. And it goes on, it says we've been saved in this hope. But hope that is seen is not hope, he says. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. And it goes on. It says, so you have this hope that one day things will be radically different. One day there will be nothing between you and God. One day you'll be completely delivered from everything that has come your way. Everything. And you will be like Jesus. That's what Scripture says. Sinless and blameless, like Him. But he says the Spirit knows that we are mere flesh. The Spirit knows that sometimes we grow weary of having to get up again. Sometimes we grow weary of hoping for things. And that's where the context of this verse comes in. He says, likewise, so we hope for things. We hope for the adoption of our bodies. We hope for that final change. And he comes and says, likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He says, you are not alone in keeping this hope alive. This flame of hope, it's not yours to keep alive, he says. You don't have it within your strength to protect this little flame against the onslaught of darkness and despair. He says, the Spirit Himself, not a prophet, not a DVD, not a tract, not a SMS, not a pastor or an evangelist. No, he says the Spirit Himself comes alongside you. And when you don't know what you should pray, you don't know should you ask God for this or not. You don't know should you trust God for this or not. You don't know can you go on or not. Then he says the Spirit Himself comes alongside you. And so He witnesses to you and with you that you are Son of God, but then He also helps you in your weakness. We do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And that is why praying in the Holy Spirit is such a powerful, powerful tool the Lord has given us. A way of just growing in intimacy with Him, but a way also of translating ourselves out of hopelessness into hope. Because when we pray in the Holy Spirit, we allow the Holy Spirit to come and pray through us. We allow Him to come with these groanings that cannot be uttered, these words that cannot be articulated to help us in our weaknesses. And therefore, I believe so strongly that this morning the Lord has a few of us here and you are struggling to pray in the Holy Spirit. And maybe you thought that's not for you. And the testimony that Ilandre brought this morning is for you. You're at the right place. And we're going to pray with you at the end and trust the Lord to baptize you in His Spirit. And if you've been struggling to break through in praying in the Holy Spirit, that this morning the Lord will unleash and release that well. Because He wants to come and in your weakness. And that's what I love about being able to pray in the Holy Spirit. It doesn't matter where I am. It doesn't matter what has happened. I open my mouth and I say, Holy Spirit, Jesus, help me. And He starts praying. No siya mburi aku siya ki no siya lamaka. In your mind, you're like, oh, Jesus, what am I doing? And you start praying. You can feel that there's something moving. On the inside, and things haven't changed. But something's beginning to shift inside of you. And the Holy Spirit comes and He helps you. And He comes to your aid. And he lifts you up. And that isn't for a select few. That is for all of us. That is for all of us. That is for all of us, where the Holy Spirit can come and He can take a family that's been torn apart and He can do something as amazing and something as beautiful as we heard this morning. What an amazing way to go towards the latter part of your years as a granny, being baptized, your hip touched by the Holy Spirit. Where's your weakness this morning? Where's your kryptonite? What's the thing that as soon as you get ahead with God, it comes and knocks you down? The Holy Spirit wants to get in there and says, don't keep that away from Him. His strength is still made perfect in it, in your weakness. He still brings forth glory. He still does the impossible. My sixth anchor, if I move away from Romans 8, is Hebrews 6, verse 10. That's the anchor of God's justice. I anchor myself in the knowledge that I don't have to live this life through my own power and my own strength. I can live it through the power of the Holy Spirit. I anchor my life in this fact that God isn't an angry judge sitting and judging and condemning me, but I anchor myself in His daddy love. I anchor myself in the fact that it doesn't matter what comes against me, nothing can separate me from His love. I anchor myself in the knowledge that I'm in Him. I'm His child and therefore I'm an heir of glory. And I anchor myself in the fact that when I'm weak, then am I strong. And then I anchor myself in this incredible truth that God comes and He says, He's not unjust. And I want you to remember this. He says, God is not unjust. And we could stop there. He's not unjust. Whatever you've been through, whatever has been done to you, you need to anchor yourself in this knowledge. God is not unjust. And justice will be done, whether in this age or in the age to come. Justice will be done. God is not unjust. He goes on and he says, specifically to those within the body of Christ, it's not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown towards His name in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. For some of us specifically here, I want you to anchor your heart in this. The Lord says, it's not an unjust God. That you've been laboring and you've been working. And it's interesting that He says here that you have shown love towards His name in a specific way. In that you have ministered to the saints. And do minister. The word minister, the most beautiful example of minister is the woman who came and washed Jesus' feet. That is what Scripture means when it speaks about ministry. When you minister to somebody else, you wash their feet, you pack out the chairs, you send the SMS, you write the letter to those in prison, you give the hug, you give the encouragement. And there are so many, I agree with Peter, there's so many incredible people in this church who have been ministering faithfully through years or weeks. And the Lord says to you, is not unjust. He's not unjust. He will not forget the labor of love. Anchor your soul in that. And then the last one, anchor number 7. Same chapter. It goes on and it says, God is not unjust. He won't forget your labor of love. Are you ministering to the saints? Are you still ministering to them? My seventh anchor I find in the saints of God, because it says, and we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end. We desire that you don't give up, he says. Steph shared with us. You don't give up, you don't quit. But he says there's a way in which you can show the diligence in which you can hold on. I don't want you to become sluggish, but I want you to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. One of the ways in which I anchor my soul is to look at Scripture and to see what God has done in the lives of believers throughout the centuries. And another way I anchor my soul is to surround myself by His saints, with His saints. Just to be amongst you. Just to be amongst other believers who through faith and patience inherit the promises. There's some of us here and we don't know the power of inspiration that lies within us through our faithfulness. The power of inspiration that we have to come and lift somebody else up just through us being faithful. Just through us continuing. I'm going to say this over and over again. It's not how you start, it's how you end. There's such an amazing legacy the Lord has given us to continue to keep on walking. It's a bit of a Johnny Walker the Lord wants us to adapt. Just to keep on walking. Soberly, okay? But we heard now that even after a little bit of red wine in the tummy, the Lord can still move, eh, Ilandre? It's probably just a little bit. New wine. But there's something that happens, an anchor that I find. Specifically when I don't want to be amongst them, I know I need to be amongst the saints. There's something that happens to my spirit. There's something that's a washing of my soul that takes place without anybody even having preached the word. But the Christ in them, the Christ in me resonate. And there's a strengthening that takes place. And so this morning, I'm wanting to appeal to us to anchor ourselves once again in the knowledge of who God is, the knowledge of His love, in the knowledge of the hope that He puts before us. So I'm going to ask us to just sit as you're sitting. And then I just want you to think as I run through these again and ask the Holy Spirit to show you, Lord, where have I allowed the moorings of my ship, of my life, just to move away from these anchors? The first one is the anchor of His Spirit's power. Where are you trying in your own strength? Where are you trying to do things in your own strength? Where do you need to surrender again to the power of the Holy Spirit? The second anchor is the anchor of His daddy arms. Where have you moved away from the revelation that God is a daddy God? Not just a generic God, not just this generic force out there, energy out there, the big man up in the clouds, but your daddy. And that you carry His DNA inside of you. If you belong to Him, His DNA is inside of you. You are His son and His daughter. And so you are, the more you walk with Him, the more you will begin to become like Him. Where have you moved away from the glorious future that He promises you? The anchor that says that you are a child of God and an heir of God. Where have you allowed the sufferings, maybe the challenges, the temptations, the despair to move you away from that hope? It's time to anchor yourself again. Where have you moved away from the reality that nothing can separate you from His love? Maybe there's some of us this morning and you have allowed your weaknesses to intimidate you. And the Lord says to you, anchor yourself again in this fact that He still perfects His strength and weakness. For some of us, maybe we blame God for certain things. We think that He's unjust. We think that He has forgotten about us. We think that the promotion will never come or the breakthrough will never come. And the Lord says, I'm not unjust. What you've sowed, you will reap. It's not unjust. Then maybe for some of us this morning, we have allowed ourselves to be isolated. And we don't imitate the saints anymore. We don't esteem and revere the saints anymore. So we've become sluggish. And the Lord says, anchor yourself in my body. I want us to stand now. You could stand with me. So I'm already standing here at the front. I just want you to close your eyes. And Father, I pray that you would, through your Holy Spirit, I believe that where we're going, you want to take us further and you want to take us, God, to a place, as you told the disciples, where we need to go over to the other side. But from time to time, Lord, we need to let our anchors down again when the storms get too intense. And God, when there are things that want to just distract us. And we've said yes to you, God, and said we will go with you to the other side. But I thank you just for a few minutes, God, this morning where we can stop and where we can allow ourselves just to be anchored in you again. And thank you, Holy Spirit, that you just come and show us where we have allowed circumstances or the devil or the flesh to just move our anchors, God. And we've placed them in people or we've placed them, God, in circumstances or in the news, on temporal things. Thank you that this morning you say to us, we are eternal people. We have been born again from the Spirit of God, not through the flesh or the will of man. We've been born again through your Spirit. And thank you for the invitation that you give us, God, to come boldly. I want us to listen to the song, and I just believe that the Holy Spirit is wanting to minister to us. And He's wanting to minister just hope to our hearts. And He's wanting to breathe upon us. And so I want you to just be bold, and I want you just to respond to the song however you feel comfortable and you feel led. I want you to take heed of Elmarie's word earlier that says that as Hannah came to God at the temple, she came as she was. She came with what was in her heart. She didn't try and fix herself before she came. And I want you to just respond to the Holy Spirit as He's going to move amongst us. He's going to put His finger upon certain things. And as He does that, as He brings conviction to your heart, I want you to step out boldly and I want you to come to the front. We are going to pray with you. So Holy Spirit, we thank you, God, that we can just give you our hearts and pray that you would come and you would establish us this morning, God, in your truth. Thanks, guys. At the back, you can play the song for me. As the Holy Spirit is ministering to you, I want you just to respond boldly, just to come forward.
He's awakening the hope in me by calling for my destiny. He's breathing life into my soul. I was thirst for Him and Him alone. He has come like the rain, the showers on the barren plain. So my heart, tongue confess Jesus Christ, the hope of a man. My hope is in you, God. I am steadfast. I will not be moved. I anchor, never shaken. All my hope is in you. He's awakening the hope in me by calling forth my destiny. He's breathing life into my soul. And I will thirst for Him and Him alone. He has come
Hallelujah. God, we thank you, Lord, for your presence. God, we thank you that your presence is here, Lord, to restore joy, God. We thank you that your presence is here, Lord, to breathe upon us. Lord, to bring life to the barrenness, Lord. We thank you that your presence is here, Lord, to restore. Your presence is here to affirm, God, that we are yours. We thank you, Holy Spirit, Lord, for your still small voice speaking to our hearts this morning. We honor you, God. I want you just to raise your hands to the Lord, just where you stand. I just want you to just to thank him for the spirit of adoption that he has given you. Thank him for the anchor. There's a specific anchor that you're thankful for this morning. Thank him for that. Thank him for the fact that you don't have to doubt his love for you. Thank him for the fact that you don't have to get lost in the temporal things, but that you can anchor yourself in the hope of eternal glory. Anchor yourself in the fact this morning that God has promised that he will never leave you and he will never forsake you. Just thank him for that. If you have an anchor in your heart, if you have an anchor in your life, then you are the exception to the majority of the people in our country this morning. And then you've got reason to be thankful. Then you've got reason to lift up your voice and to thank him. Because without that anchor, we would all be lost. Without that anchor, we would run to so many things to try and fill the voids inside of us. So just thank Him. Lord Jesus, we thank You, God, that You are our anchor of hope. We thank You, Lord, that You are our joy. We thank You, Jesus, that You are, Lord God, the one that makes sense out of the senseless. We thank You that You're the one, Lord, that brings hope to the hopeless. We honor You, God, and we praise You. We worship You, God. We magnify You, Lord. We exalt You. There is no one like You. There is no one like You, Jesus. There is no one like You. We glorify You, God. We glorify You. There are a few of us here this morning, and you don't have a living relationship with the Holy Spirit. And I believe the Holy Spirit is just extending to you an invitation. You know Father God well, and you've got quite a good relationship with Jesus, but the Holy Spirit is mostly to you just the force. Or you know that He is mentioned in Scripture, but you don't know Him as your friend. And we would love to pray for you. So I would like you to take the step of boldness like all of us did at one stage in our lives and say, Holy Spirit, come and show me who You are. We'd like you just to come to the front, and we'd like some facilitators if you guys could come as well. Or maybe you've lost your passion for praying in the Spirit, and you've allowed just so many words to come out, and they're not words of life. They're words of anger or words of the flesh or words of disappointment. I believe the Holy Spirit is wanting to unblock in you this morning just the well of life through His Spirit. So we'd like you to come as well, and so we can just pray with you and just agree that the Lord will come and just flow through you. So Father, we thank You, God, in Jesus' name, Lord, for Your invitation that You are extending towards us. We thank You, God, that You are here, Lord, to draw us close. Thank You, Holy Spirit, Lord, that You are the one that brings, Lord God, with You peace. You're the one, Lord, that brings with You hope and joy. Thank You, Lord, that You don't condemn this morning. I sense there few of us will be suffering from such a cloud of condemnation. The Lord is saying to you that He wants to lift the cloud this morning, but you have to humble yourself. You have to humble yourself this morning. You have to come and you have to say, God, I need You. God, I need Your touch. And just stepping out is simply a sign of that. Stepping out is simply a sign of saying, God, I'm not going to do this in my own terms. I'm going to do this in Your terms. I'm not going to ask You to come and just enter into my life. I'm going to step into Your story. I'm going to step into Your life. I'm going to step into Your purpose and into Your destiny. So if you need prayer, I'm just going to extend this invitation once again. And we'd like you to come to the front, and we're going to minister, and we're just going to pray with some people. And small group facilitators and zone coaches, please, can you guys come and just help me to minister? Appreciate the band. If you guys could also just come up. Hallelujah. Worship You, God. Thank You, Father God. We worship You, Jesus. If you're at the front, I want you just to raise your hands if you're here for prayer. Just close your eyes and forget about the people. We're not spectators. The rest of us can close our eyes as well. And just you guys can speak to the Lord. If you need to go, then you are more than welcome to go. Thank you so much for coming and just joining us this morning. Let me pray for all of us, Father. We thank You, Lord, for time in Your presence, God, and we thank You that You will continue, Lord, to minister to our hearts. Thank You that You will continue, God, to bring life, Lord, to the areas in our lives where we need it. Thank You, Lord, for each one of us with whom You have a divine appointment this morning. Thank You, Lord, that You love us, and I pray, Lord, for the revelation of that love, God, just to increase over the next few days, Lord God. Thank You, Lord, for how You've just from the first song have been speaking to us, Lord, so faithfully, God. How You've been ministering to our hearts, Lord. We are so in awe of Your presence. We are so thankful, Holy Spirit, for Your presence. We are so thankful for Your voice. We are so thankful, God, for just the love of Your body, Lord, that we can be a part of. Thank You so much, God. Thank You, Lord, that Your peace goes with us into this week, and that, God, Your blood covers us, and that we can know You more and more every day. Jesus, then the Lord bless you. Remember that next week we're going to be in Pretoria. So watch the mails and the SMSs coming through. And please join us over there. For those of us who are here, you need prayer, just raise your hands to the Lord and just say, God, I surrender. We're going to sing that song again. Surrender to the Lord. And we're just going to surrender everything in our hearts to Him. And I believe the Holy Spirit is going to touch you powerfully this morning here at the front. Have an expectation to meet with Him. Have an expectation for the Holy Spirit to come and do in your heart what only He can do. If you want to just remain with us and worship with us, you're more than welcome to do that. Lord bless you.
Here I am.